Hey, whatever happened to Rudy Giuliani? Remember him? He was the big mouth Trump supporter involved with the Ukraine and all that stuff. They were going to like throw him to the wolves and indict him because his mouth was too big. He was just, every time he opened his mouth, it was trouble. I haven't heard from him at all. Did they put him in a car in a limousine and drive him down to the docks? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or what is he on the side of a milk carton somewhere as a lost Trump supporter? What happened to him and his big mouth?
You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess who I am? You don't. It's me. This is the part of your day where you just like sit down and be quiet. And I take it from here for about half an hour. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you're busy doing nothing. But you don't have to think about it. Just sit back, relax. I guarantee within 5 minutes, I'll put you to sleep and you'll get the rest that you so sorely need. How are you enjoying the summer so far? Has the skin melted off your bones? Oh my God, it's been so hot. What the hell's going on? Did we transform immediately into hell? Actually, I think we did. I might actually think we did. In so many different ways. Okay, that's enough music. Okay. Well, yesterday, Joe Biden, the presumptive presidential Democratic candidate for president, introduced his running mate, Kamala Harris, former Attorney General of California, and she is now a U.S. Senator. She's an extremely impressive person. I don't care if she's male or female, black, brown, green, whatever. She's just a powerhouse, impressive motivator. Smart, intelligent, ready to go. Ready to run and run with it. So, best choice. Thank you so much, Joe Biden. They're a very impressive team. I don't know if you heard their speeches for the first time in public, it was incredibly impressive. It actually gave me little chills thinking that maybe there are some people that know how to lead a country. One of them kind of did already, and the other one is just raring to go and knows how to do it, and I can't wait. It's about time someone put Trump on the line and said, man, this is what you've done for 4 years. Let's hear you explain this one, babe. And on top of that, I mean, I'm telling you, man, we need this. We need some hope. We need some kind of hope. We need something at the end of this weird path that we're on. We need something at the end that gives us hope. And that's what I found yesterday. That's me. I don't know about you, but check it out. Kamala Harris actually said something that just rang so true to me, and it was about the pandemia. And she said, you know, it didn't have to be this way. Not that many people had to die. Not that many people had to be infected. It didn't have to be this way. And she's right. It didn't. And if you've lost a loved one, or just as bad, if someone's been through a horrific hospital experience that they may never really recover from with damage to their body, you'll agree. It didn't have to be this way. All you needed was a leader in the White House who would have said, this is a national emergency. Everybody wears a mask. when you're outside your home, you wear a mask. If you have someone you don't know or even a family member who doesn't presently live with you all the time, they need to wear a mask. They need to stay 6 feet away from you. Do not have large gatherings. Don't get cocky about it. That's what the president needed to say. And if he had gotten by emergency declaration all the testing and all the paraphernalia that was needed, all the masks, all the gloves, everything a hospital needed, that would have been a number one priority right now. Don't even open your mouth. Do it immediately. That kind of leadership could have stopped this. Kids would be back in school without problems. People would be safer, feel better. Businesses would have opened up. People would have gotten their jobs back already. It would be different. It would be better. If only there was a leader from the beginning that said, I know this is going to be uncomfortable. I know this is going to sound like you're being restricted. But if we do this, we can harness this thing until we get the vaccine. Never said it. Said the opposite is what this White House guy said. He said, don't pay attention to it. It's a hoax. It's a political hoax. Everything he said about it was completely wrong, every single step of the way and all the way to this day. It didn't have to be like this. The economy could be coming back even stronger. Families would have gotten their jobs back to a great extent. Didn't have to be this way. And now it's spreading again, and it will in a even more aggressive manner. As schools open, kids go to college, and we start infecting each other. It's already happened in many states, and it's happening now all over the country. This country is the most infected now in the world. The spread is the highest here. And it's all because there was a lack of leadership. It didn't have to be this way. We could actually have seen the light at the end of the tunnel. Okay, I'm sorry. You don't like it when I do this, do you? Because this is not a comedy show when I do that. I apologize. The only way to get out of this is to hold up a picture of a puppy dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, have we gone close to it? We've grown so close to our animals, haven't we? Oh, man, there's just, love is flowing. Not between people, but between people and animals. That's where the love is flowing. One more time, the picture of the dog. Yeah, I know. That's what brings us together. It's not people loving people. It's people loving dogs. That's what brings us together. Do you have a dog? Yes, I do. Do you love your dog? Yes, I do. Oh, man, come here. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. So what did happen to Rudy Giuliani? I haven't Googled him because I don't want to put that kind of filth in my computer. It may crash. But I'd like to Google him and find out what happened to him. He opened his mouth every single day on every single news talk radio show, especially on the Sunday news programs. He was always out there. He was always saying absurdly crazy, ridiculous things. Was he finally committed to a mental institution? I don't know how many people are in those institutions. He could be the only one, but it is where he really should have been targeted to spend the rest of his life because, man, he was just out of control. So what happened to him? What happened to him? Did he get too fat? Did he start eating a lot of food? What did they do? Did they put duct tape over his mouth and bound his arms and his legs and drop him in the East River in New York? What happened to him? Where is he? We haven't heard a thing about him. No scandals, no words. He's secretly under indictment from New York Attorney's Office, the District of Southern New York. But we haven't heard a word about it. What happened to him? He was the most vocal person. What happened to him? I think I know without Googling. I assume, and when you assume, you make an ass of yourself. Not me, you. I assume that they just took him out of circulation. Like the witness protection program, they found him a little house in New Jersey and quarantined him and said, here, Rudy, here's a house. You live in it with your wife and shut up. And if you open your mouth again, you won't be seeing your family. You know, some kind of threat must have worked with him. I don't know. Anyway, I have a great guest coming up later on in the program. It's a matter of opinion, but that's what I'm feeling. It is very hot outside, and I'm sick of this crap. I'm sick of, aren't we all sick of all the crap? I'm sick of the White House. I'm sick of the heat. I'm sick of the viroso. I'm sick of people. But I'm not sick of my dog, I'll tell you right now. Yeah, we have a relationship going on. My dog used to lick herself and then lick my leg. We've become a bit more intimate, if you know what I mean. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. That's not true. Is it, Ron? No, it's not. No, it's not. But I've always said, and I'll say it again because I don't care what I say on this show. It doesn't really make any difference. I've always said the greatest talent that a dog has is the agility to lick themselves in any spot that they choose. I can't even bend down to tie my shoes. My dog can tie my shoes. Then some. My dog is so flexible, she can actually please herself anytime she wishes. Theoretically, I can too, but with a limited performance. She's, Ron, what the hell are you doing, man? Oh, by the way, oh, I always forget to say this at the beginning of the show. If you have children in the room, I'm sorry, by the way. Send them out to get a pizza or something. Just send them into another room, play with their blocks, whatever it is. Bang on a pot or a pan. This is no place for them. I mean, they're not going to get hurt or anything. I'm not going to say anything horrible. But I could reveal something that I don't want to say in front of them. Like, there is no Santa Claus. Oh, no, my God. Did I say that by mistake? Actually, kids, there is a Santa Claus. There really, really is. Oh, God. We lie to children all the time. Yeah. Dad, can we go to the park? No, the park is closed. But it's like in the afternoon. Why would a park be closed? Just, I said it's closed. All right. And then we do the thing with the Santa Claus. Oh, my God. I mean, if they can't figure that out at a certain point, then you've got to really have a talk with your kids because it's a nice younger childhood fantasy. But I'm sorry, there's a certain age where if you didn't put two and two together and you couldn't figure that one out, then I don't think your road to success is going to be very long or even available to you. Easter Bunny, give me a break. When's the last time you saw a rabbit talk? Come on, man. Seriously? Santa Claus was a very, very odd thing that they put together. Santa Claus comes down the chimney. We don't have a chimney. We have an apartment in the Bronx. What are you talking about? Well, he comes through the window then. Oh, my God. What are you expecting me to believe now? That smoking is good for you? What? Tooth fairy, give me a break with the tooth fairy. Come on. You lose a tooth? Someone breaks into your bedroom in the middle of the night? Takes the tooth and puts money under your pillow? What the hell are you thinking? Does that make sense to you? Does that even make sense? You know it's illegal to break into somebody's bedroom or their house, but the bedroom is like a little weird. And then they put money under your pillow? No. If someone breaks into your house, they're taking money out of your house. They're not putting it under your pillow. Get a life, kid. putting two and two together. Use your education. Use your words. These things are ridiculous, these stories. They're unbelievable. I've talked about this before, but the fairy tales, kids, do you believe the fairy tales? Do you believe Hansel and Gretel? These two weird kids walking through the forest in Germany. That's the last place I would walk through a forest. And they come across a house, and there's a witch in it. Red flag, red flag. And the witch pushes them in the oven and bakes them. I mean, hi, kids. Go to sleep now. Go to sleep? What are you talking about? You just scared the hell out of me. It's all a bunch of crap. I mean, I don't know why we make these fables up for these kids. I mean, why do we do this? Isn't Christmas nice enough? That religious holiday where you open up presents? I don't get the connection either. I don't get the connection. We're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus, I believe, which was actually not on Christmas. I think we all know that by now, but somehow somebody got their dates wrong, and now we have to live with it. And this turned into kids getting Christmas gifts under a tree with light bulbs on it. I don't know how that happened. I'm sure there's some explanation, but again, I'm not Googling. I'm not going to waste my Google time. I only have a certain amount of Google time every day. The things we expect people to believe is just unbelievable, and most of them do actually believe it all the way into adulthood. It's just, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Isn't it good enough for kids to open up presents on Christmas? Isn't that enough of a treat? Isn't that enough of a wonderful, fantastic experience for children? Where their eyes light up as they open up the gifts that you bought in the store with your hard-earned money. Well, Santa got that for you. But actually, it was me. I had to work overtime for a month in order to afford this toy for you. And now you go, oh, thank you, Santa. It was me. I was the one that worked hard to get you the gift. Not freaking Santa, who doesn't exist. Oh, my God, I can't hold this in any longer. The fun part of the Christmas thing was you put out milk and cookies for Santa near the fireplace, which you probably didn't have. And then in the morning when you woke up, there'd be presents under the tree, and the milk would be gone, and the cookies, there'd just be crumbs on the plate, and this was the child's wonderful fantasy, when all it was the father just got really thirsty and ate all the cookies. It's really all that happened here. I have no idea. So, I mean, you'd figure when a kid goes to a mall and sees Santa Clauses all over the place that they'd say, well, this is a miracle, but how do they clone them? Well, no, these are Santa's helpers dressed as Santa. All right, come on, you. Now you're really. What do you think? What do you think? I'm an idiot? Do you think I'm an idiot? Do we ever blame our parents or our parent for lying to us? No, we don't. No, we don't. But they did. They lied to us. They lied. They looked at us in the face and lied, made up a story, relayed a story that already existed through centuries and through the end of time. They lied to us. And if they're capable of lying about that, they're capable about lying about anything. And they do. For two reasons. Parents are too lazy to tell them the truth and don't want to do the stuff. Or because everybody else is lying about it, so I might as well lie too. And I've said on another program, there's nothing wrong with lying as long as you're making somebody happy. Really, I'm serious. We've done this before. I don't know if you've listened to the other shows. There's nothing wrong with lying at all. If you're making somebody, oh, you look fantastic today. Thank you very much. They don't really look fantastic. They look okay. They look better than usual. Fantastic, it's a little much. It's a little much. But it makes the other person feel real good. Yeah. You know, I really love you. Yeah, I mean, you love them, but not enough to accentuate it like that. It's exaggeration. Lying is exaggeration. Lying is exaggeration to the point where the truth doesn't exist anymore. I just exaggerated myself out of the truth into the lie. And as I said yesterday on the program, when a female looks at a male and says, "Do I look fat in this dress?" Of course you do. Otherwise you wouldn't ask. If you didn't think you looked fat in the dress, you wouldn't have said that. You think you look fat in the dress. You're waiting for someone else to say, "Yeah, you're right, you do look fat, not the best dress for you." But how do we respond? "No, you look fine." You don't look fine. You look fat in the dress. Anybody would look fat in a dress. It's an ugly dress. I mean, it's not you, really. It's an ugly dress. But you can't say that either. So you lie. And you live to breathe another day. And that's how that works. All right. My guest is going to join us momentarily. In the meantime, I want to sell you something. I don't know what it is necessarily, but I'm going to try to sell you something. Good luck about that.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
"I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts."
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. "What parts, you ask?" Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar garlic teriyaki onion habanero pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
"That's some good piggies."
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Hi, Joanne. How are you today?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Joanne Wright joins us. She's Vice President of IBM Enterprise Operations. And we're talking about the company's operating model for getting people back to work, even as there is a need for them to return to work. It's always questionable how do you pull that off right now? And I guess you're working on a model for that.
Yes, we are. Uh-huh. Thank you for inviting me to your program. Yes, we've been working from home now since, I would say, the peak of the pandemic, which is mid-March, so gosh, nearly 5 months now. And so a few million video chats later,
yes,
using collaboration tools to keep our teams connected and collaborating. We now are thinking about how to build trust and confidence and how do we really think about returning to the workplace.
Is there a specific location that you're looking at?
Well, it really has been varying city by city.
Yes.
Driven, I would say, by what's happening with the guidance
from
local health companies. Mm-hmm. But I would tell you, for us, we've opened up some places here in New York. We have manufacturing in Poughkeepsie,
mm-hmm.
and we also are looking at, for us, using technology as a way to ensure that we can redrive a safe workplace for our employees, and also kind of dynamically change to some of the environment that we're finding ourselves in, whether that's the need for like the 6 feet social distancing standard, and mask wearing and cleaning and just the whole, change in the way that we now need to kind of show up in the workplace environment.
Joanne, is there a separate set of ideas for manufacturing, people that do physical work in a building, and then again, people who sit at desks and are basically just talking to customers or talking to other departments and don't really move from their desks much at all? Are those two environments considered different as far as where they're going to go?
I would say not so much. We're really using our guidelines as a kind of guiding force, whether you're in a data center, in a manufacturing location, or for that factor in an office.
That's good. That's good.
So really, we have a capability called Watson Works, and that allows us to kind of dynamically plan for 6 feet distancing in whatever environment that we have our teams working in today.
Right. I mean, I know a lot of people are working from home if they're, you know, data processing types of jobs, which a lot really are. But then I was always concerned that they may never return to the brick and mortar. But, you know, having other people around you so you can, you know, throw ideas around on the spot, I mean, you're missing that when you're working at home. So I'm glad that that's also an effort to get those people back into a building, I believe.
Yeah, you know, people are coming back slowly. I think over time we're going to see, you know, based again on local conditions, very, very dynamic across the U.S. right now. But there are some areas are, you know, where they feel confident and they feel that we've got trust and, you know, the safety protocols we're taking to have the environment be, you know, safe. They are wanting, as you say, to come in probably for a purpose. And the purpose might be, you know, to work on a client proposal or work on a project or to deliver and to get insight and innovative and collaboration with their work colleagues again.
I just want people to wear pants again. I mean, I think working from home and not getting dressed is the real problem. Anything where you can put some clothes on is probably a good idea. Now, tell me about this, the program, the Emerge Smarter. Is this available to other businesses?
Yes, it is. It's actually available to all of our clients across the world.
Good.
And actually, today we just announced that we are actually partnering with other companies to join forces too on this return to the workplace. And so Workday has just announced that they're going to partner with IBM on our whole opportunity, I think, to sort of emerge smarter. And I would say there's a great vision that really we can use this opportunity that we find ourselves in to, you know, think about how you can dynamically adapt to the moment of the day or the week. That's really what we're seeing across this country right now, right? Very different pockets of what's happening with the pandemic. And even as we're seeing, like, some of the schools start to think about returning, and returning a state of flux, right? Some of them are going to turn in a hybrid model.
Yes, it depends, right?
That's going to need our people to be feeling that they've got flexible work schedule, flexible ways of working, and that's another opportunity we have to enable technology.
It's so interesting the way that this is intelligently devised on the fly, where it, you know, it's actually has to be operational. I think it was only a few months ago that we all thought that things were just going to return to normal pretty quickly by the end of the year, and that'll be that. You know, that was an adventure. That was horrible, and then some horrible things happened, but here we are back again. But it doesn't look like it works like that. It's such a gradual thing, so plans do have to be made. I don't think we were thinking a couple of months ago that we'd have to alter school visitations by now. We thought this might be over with.
Absolutely. I think that is exactly where we thought we'd be. And now I think many people are thinking that, you know, really things will not be returning to normal this year. But they also then are aware that they know their lives may change with some of the things that are taking place with the schools, with the colleges.
Yes.
And then just the things we've had to adapt to. And I think it will be ongoing. So
good.
Very agile, I think, it will be the world that we're in.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm glad this program's being developed, the Emerge Smarter, because I hate to say this, it's not a political statement, but nobody's really leading us as to what's a good idea and what isn't, what works and what won't work. And it's about time a company, you know, such as this company would actually say, no, this is, here's your plan. Here's a plan. I think that's a good thing. I think we need that right now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we are basing a lot of our decisions on science and insights and data, and really using, you know, AI to kind of guide us forward. And
Yes.
I would say also then adjust as we go, and we learn together, and we learn with our team about what they're confident and comfortable about.
Okay. Joanne, where do we learn more about this? Some people may be interested in pursuing this.
Great. I would go out to IBM.com, and that will take you straight into giving you the insights about what we've been doing as a company and what we can do as we think about helping others to emerge smarter.
Fantastic. I appreciate your time, Joanne. Thank you so much today. You know, when you go to a store and the cash out, the checkout cashier says to you, hi, how are you today? I'm fine. Did you find everything you were looking for? Yes, I did. Or maybe not. I don't know. They're striking up a conversation with you not because they like you. I want you to know that. They don't care how you are. That's their job. They are told by their supervisor, every customer that comes up to the checkout register, say to them, how are you today? Be friendly. I want this to be a friendly place. And the cashier would basically say, well, I don't feel friendly toward everybody, just some. No, I want you to be friendly toward everybody. All right, but it's a little phony. I know. Am I lying to them? How are you today? Because I really don't care how they are, some of them. Yes, then lie to them. And that's my point. You do it to make somebody feel good. In that case, you do it so that they feel that's a friendly place to shop. I'll come back again. I don't care how much their prices are out of control, but they're so damn friendly. I must shop there because that's where I feel good. When I feel down and I feel depressed, I go to this particular supermarket because they're so friendly. And then the world is wonderful. The hell are we doing? What the hell are we putting up with here? Well, that's the way it should be. But it's people like me, the grumpy people, that have to overanalyze everything, which is so annoying. So we keep it to ourselves. All right. I'll be back again tomorrow with a Friday weekend kind of program. Ooh, that's exciting. Ooh. So until then, I wish you peace.